being a slave on a plantation owned by the Church of England did not mean that you got better treatment than anywhere else. The Bishop of London in, no, Bishop, yes, Bishop of Canterbury, I beg your pardon, in 1750 commented to somebody else that the slave seemed to die very young, you know, and he wasn't really seemed to be worried about, you know, this is what's going wrong. Are they being badly treated? It was more that we have to keep buying new slaves to keep the labour force up to speed. Now, I'm going to whip over to Westminster again. So for years, I was really fond of this building. It's in Tufton Street, just behind Westminster Abbey. And this is over the doorway, and it's quite difficult to read on a slide, but it's cool. It says that the building belonged to the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel for Foreign Parts. And then there's a relief, and it shows the ship. It's obviously quite a windy day because the sails are very full. And on the ship, there appear to be people holding crosses and Bibles. And they're arriving at a coast. And it's hot because there are palm trees there. And people are because jumping up and down for joy at the arrival of these people. And I always thought, oh, that's rather sweet. And then back in 2006, when I was doing research for the physical walk, I discovered that this was the administrative wing of the Church of England who administered that estate in Codrington. So you never really know what's hiding behind a facade. Now to Old Jewry. So we're very close to the Guildhall. There's St Paul's Cathedral. So we're not, Guildhall is about here. Now the slave trade was abolished in 1807 in the British Empire. That didn't mean slavery came to an end. That didn't end until 1833. During that time, there were a number of uprisings. You may remember that there was something called the French Revolution in 1789, and those ideas of freedoms were spread like wildfire. Some of the slave rebellions were successful, but many, many weren't. I think it's really important to point out that people who were enslaved in these horrendous conditions, living ghastly lives, I mean, there was no hope that they would ever be free, were fighting for that freedom. And when they did fight, if they failed, the consequences were horrific. I'm not going to go into all the ghastly ways that they were tortured and killed. But if you know anything about Nazi Germany and you know how people were punished when they escaped from Auschwitz and were caught, or if they weren't caught, how people who were still there were put to death in horrible ways to discourage them for trying to do something similar, you'll probably realise that they've learned quite a lot from what happened in the slave trade. Now, the reason, the way that slavery was abolished, the way that this was achieved in this country, meant that the abolitionists had to relinquish their most cherished, the most important tenet of their argument, that no one person can own another, because the people who regarded themselves as owners demanded compensation for their loss of property. And £20 million was paid out to the slave owners. And they, or quite often their agents, would go to where this building now stands on Old Jewry, and then queue round the block. So they would have already filled in lots of details about the slaves they'd owned by gender, health, height, you know, everything about them. And they would, so that would be translated in how much money they would receive. And some very ordinary people, as I said earlier, turned out to own slaves. And one of the surprising things was one of the people who put in a claim was a member of parliament who was an abolitionist. Now, if you want to find out if anybody in your family perhaps had something to do with this, University College London has done a huge amount of work and has a database of names. So you can look up names on that database. I looked up various names in my family. I found a George Durrant. Now, it could be my ancestor. It doesn't give an address. So I quite like to check out more. If it is my ancestor, I think he owned two slaves. We didn't inherit anything. But then, you know, I can't say that I haven't benefited in some way from this. So it's quite a fascinating thing to do. And also they've got maps of Fitzrovia and Bloomsbury. And they show, they've got pointers where, or addresses where slave owners, people who put in claims to their slaves, where they lived. And it's like a measles rash. It is really quite astonishing. So all of this was administered from a building in Whitehall. So that's where Downing Street leads off, where our government offices are. And this is now the Welsh office, just 10 people working on this huge project. In 2015, somebody in the Treasury saw fit to tweet that we had finally finished paying off that £20 million because, of course, it contributed to the national debt. And in today's money, it's been estimated it was about 17 billion. But of course, when they tweeted this, I don't think they were thinking, because it's the taxpayers. We've been paying this. And of course, many of those taxpayers are descendants of slaves. And the people who got that 20 million, they didn't just stick it under the mattress. They then invested it. And so we are often recognising them or seeing being they're being presented to us as philanthropists, people who set up new institutions with money from the slave trade, or they invested it in the Industrial Revolution, which is why the Industrial Revolution got going so well in this country, or in the railways. So in many ways, they've made us all complicit in the slave trade. Now, just briefly back to the railings, which were next door to the building where people got their checks. This, coincidentally, is the site of the building where the first headquarters of the Society for the Abolition of the Slave Trade was. Just pure chance.